Young with two, lets it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young, Swaggy T, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAO 103.9 FM, 750 AM. Again, we are live at Auto Farm's Price Auto Group as we wrap up this week of the show. Joining us right now over the phone, we have EJ Christian. He's the host of the Earnestly Speaking podcast, and he also covers the Miami Heat with Hot Hot Hoops from SB Nation. EJ, it's been a while since we've gotten you on the show. I think we've got to go all the way back to the Super Bowl, but thank you very much for taking out the time today.
My brother, Jordan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm good. I mean, I can't complain of the hot weekend here about down in South Florida, and obviously the Dwayne Wade news. Obviously, everybody has an opinion about that. It's a very, very bittersweet time right now in South Florida.
Everybody has a different opinion on it. I don't know if there's a right or wrong. First off, I'm going to give you my take on it. I believe that Miami, the Heat organization, needed to take care of Dwayne Wade. He is the greatest Miami sports figure in history. I think you could put him up there with Don Shula and, of course, with Dan Marino. Mm-hmm. He was never the highest paid player on his team. Without Dwayne Wade, they have zero championships. And I think that's what I've been trying to stress all week long to people. Yes, I know LeBron was the catalyst for that for the back-to-back run. I know that Dwayne Wade probably doesn't get a championship without Shaq. But the bottom line is, without Wade, none of that happens, period. I'm a little bit disappointed in Pat Riley's handling of it, but I know it's business, and the NBA, it's a business, and sometimes loyalty can screw things just a little bit. In this case, Dwayne Wade is now in Chicago, a place that he flirted with going to back in 2010, and the Heat now, they're faced with life after Dwayne Wade, after he gives them 12 All-Star appearances.
I think the reality is now, we were reminded this week with, you know, not just with anybody, but especially Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat after 13 years of doing business together, that is that. It's a business. And, you know, I think with the Heat the last couple of years post-LeBron, they're pushing this whole Heat lifer and Heat Nation and, you know, family. And that's all well and good, but at the same time, I think we're reminded that at the end of the day, it's business first. I agree. Look, I'm not really in the camp of Dwayne has to go. There was a middle ground here that should have been reached between these two parties, but at the end of the day now, you know, Pat Riley is fighting a battle of whether to pay Wade the max or close to the max, but at the cost of his future versus the other way around. And look, there are no winners here. The losers, really, at the end of the day of this transaction, is the fans, because you do have factions here. You do have people who are pissed off at Wade for dragging this out again for the second year in a row. You know, and of course, you know, trying to demand money. You know, what Wade would say is payback for all the cuts he took in the past. But at the same time, you know, you have people who are in, you know, Wade's corner that says that he should stay here, kind of like Kobe did with the Lakers the last couple of years. You know, and look, they're the winners here, man, at the end of the day. Both parties got what they wanted. I don't think the Heat, honestly, and it's funny, I speculated on this for weeks, or actually last week rather, when the news came out again for the second time about Wade having more issues with his contract. That I thought that, yeah, the Heat will make an offer, but they're not going to push the envelope this time. I think the Heat had a line in the sand, and once Wade had his line in the sand, that was it. And now we are where we are now.
Let's be honest here. I know a lot of comparisons have been made to this situation and what happened in Los Angeles with Kobe. Dwayne mm-hmm. Wade, for as big as a star as he is, he does mm-hmm. not have the global branding behind his name. And so I can understand.
Absolutely.
And Kobe has that. So I understand why the mm-hmm. Lakers give him $48 million. Because you look at mm-hmm. that, they have the Time Warner cable deal. There was literally nothing else on that team. I mean, it was Kobe for the last 2 years.
Right. And that's why for years, and Jordan, you and I discussed on my show many times over, I've been one of the guys defending the Kobe deal 2 years ago because of the international impact it has on not just Kobe and the Lakers and TV, but also internationally, he's revered in China, in Japan, in Europe, you know, wherever it be. So it made sense for the Lakers financially and fiscally really to invest in the business side of it. Obviously, the basketball side suffered a little bit, which they're now trying to fix. But it's really in a nutshell, when you go beyond just basketball, it's really two different scenarios. Like, basketball-wise, you can compare it, yes, had Wade been paid the max, it would hamper the Heat going forward. Yes, Kobe getting the max hampered the Lakers basketball-wise, but that's where it ends. You go beyond just basketball, there's no comparison. Kobe Bryant, you know, it was about the TV deal. And look, the Lakers have stunk the last 3 years and yet have crushed the Clippers in TV ratings.
Right. Right, yeah, yeah. Again, it's comparing apples to oranges when you compare the two situations from a business standpoint. Let's again, our guest right now is EJ Christian. He's the host of the Earnestly Speaking podcast, also covers the Miami Heat with Hot Hot Hoops at SB Nation. EJ, I want to talk a little bit about where the Heat go from here. They sign Hassan Whiteside. That obviously had to be priority number one for Pat Riley in the offseason. That's a done deal. You still have Justice Winslow. You have Goran Dragic. Chris Bosh's situation is still up in the air, but let's assume for a second that Chris Bosh is done and we never watch him put on the Heat uniform again and step on the court. Where does this Dwayne Wade situation leave Miami?
Well, first off, first step of the Heat right now is figuring out Tyler Johnson. I know this is not really funny. Wade to Johnson. What a drop-off. Tyler Johnson right now has a $50 million offer sheet from Brooklyn that he signed yesterday, and he'd have now, as of today, I think 2 days to match it. I will say this, the idea of matching it now sounds a lot more enticing presently because now Wade's not in the picture anymore. There's no telling whether they're going to do it or not, but he is an option if he decides to match the offer sheet. I've heard from sources in Miami down here, people that I talk to, people that are closer to the team than even I am, have said that the Bosh thing is going to get ugly. Because now with the Wade thing out of the way, and with Chris Bosh, the issue with Chris Bosh isn't necessarily him not wanting to play. He wants to play. He wanted to come back during the Toronto series in the second round of the playoffs. The issue is Chris Bosh cannot get any clearance from any doctors, including his own, or the Heat doctors, or the NBA doctors. So it comes to a situation now where, okay, Chris Bosh has to decide whether to take stock in whether is my life more important or is playing basketball important. And my opinion, I think he should retire because he has nothing to gain at this point now. He has five children. He's married to a beautiful woman. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He has everything he's accomplished, two rings, the whole nine. You know, there's nothing to gain at this point now for Chris Bosh, and there's too much risk. And I think the Heat are going to try to push towards retirement because if they can get him to retire before the season next year, his money comes off the books for next summer's free agency class, and we already know how that class looks like. It's going to be shaped with LeBron and Durant, possibly Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and Russ Westbrook. So we know that the Heat are going to try to push him out the door. Totally, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, let's move aside from Miami here for a second and let's look at Dwayne Wade's impact on Chicago. Because right now, this team to me, they're a piece or two away. Their backcourt kind of seems like a hot mess. I don't necessarily like the idea of Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and Rajon Rondo. Again, Dwayne Wade last year, career low 19 points per game, shot like 15% from beyond the arc, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I don't know if outside of Mirotić, who can hit a shot outside of 17 feet on the Chicago Bulls roster? That's a serious question.
Really, outside Mirotić, seriously. I mean, McDermott maybe, that's about it. I mean, look, Jordan, you and I know basketball very well. You and I, we respect and revere the history of the game. And yes, Rondo once upon a time was a great talent. He's still probably a good talent, a little bit of a hothead. And Dwayne Wade obviously will be a Hall of Famer. This might be the worst shooting backcourt in NBA history. And I'm not even joking when I say that. I don't know how this works. I don't know how this is going to fit necessarily. Like I said, I think Wade left on principle and pride, but, you know, in terms of the fit with Chicago, I mean, look, does it make the Bulls better? Yeah, a little. I mean, they're looking to rebuild anyway, but are they going to challenge Cleveland? No. Toronto? No. I told you in text a couple days ago, I think this team is going to do better than the 16 Eastern Conference, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they could compete for home court in the opening round. There's a big difference. And again, in my time in working with the NBA and interviewing coaches and players, whenever a player or a coach uses the word compete with me, I've learned that translates into we're not going to be very good. I think that this team can compete for home court in the opening round. But with that being said, there's a lot of money on the table right now between Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. They lose Pau Gasol, which I know Pau is a little bit older and you can't really rely on him defensively, but at least Pau is a legitimate option down low. I don't know where the Bulls go from here. Did they get better this offseason? I'm going to say no. I don't think they did.
I think the future... Look, the Wade move was a PR move.
Absolutely.
Okay? He's coming home, which is probably overrated, because you know what? If Miami even matches the offer Chicago had out there, home is Miami, not Chicago. Well, look, I still think Dwayne Wade and the Heat, in about 2 years from now, 3 years from now, or maybe, before he retires, you'll sign another deal in Miami for a year, and you'll retire as a Heatle, okay? And then they're going to give him a statue outside AAA. You'll have an office job with the Heat. They will take care of it in the end.
It's an interesting turn of events that's happened this year with NBA free agency. EJ Christian, again, our guest host of the Earnestly Speaking podcast, and he covers Miami Heat with Hot Hot Hoops. I want to clarify what I just said. Did the Bulls get better? Is the roster this year better than it was last year? Assuming that they are healthy, and last year that was a big problem for this Bulls team, I just don't know how they mesh. So I'm saying right now, EJ, no, I like last year's roster at this point in time of the season, at this point in time of the offseason, I like last year's roster better than I like this year's.
Yeah, I think like marginally better. It's not even that much. I mean, the Bulls won. They missed playoffs last year by what, 2 games?
Yeah, and had a lot of injuries.
They tried their playoffs this year in the East, but I don't know if that's even enough. I mean, what, like I said, a 7-8 seed at best. That's it to me, man. I don't see this team doing anything really significant going forward. They have no shooting.
Yeah,
who's gonna shoot the ball? I mean, seriously.
That is going to be a problem with this team. As I said, you bring up McDermott. I mean, outside of McDermott and Miritich, I don't know if anybody else on that team can consistently hit a 17-foot shot. EJ, before I let you go, we're running out of time for this particular segment. Tell the listeners how they can find more EJ Christian.
Find me, of course, on Twitter at EJChristian7. My podcast, Earth Street Podcast, airs on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, NJCSports.com. And of course, I cover the Heat for HotHoops.com, an affiliate SB Nation. Jordan, as always, man, thank you so much for having me on the show, man.
It's always a pleasure. It has. It's been too long, EJ. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. You got it, brother.
We're going to pause for just a second. We'll return and put the final touches on this live broadcast, live edition of Drive Time Sports on the road at Auto Farms Price Auto Group here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m.